Take a trip back to Japan where an ancient temple guardian awakens and a failed Japanese pop star has to make friends with a Ninja Turtle in order to save the world. Will this modern film, brought to you by the company that gave us the 1960s Gappa, the Triphibian Monster, will it be a return to form for the kaiju film? Or will this movie take flight on its magic wings? Find out along with us. This is Kaiju vs. History. Death Kappa.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your speed bump of a grandma, Miles, and joining me is a teenage radioactive Kappa turtle, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing this week?
Kappa with the face only a mother can love. It's pretty
There's so much about this movie that only a mother could love.
It's so funny. You go, and if you read reviews online for Death Kappa, Miles, people hate the first half of the movie and enjoy the kaiju action of the second half. I enjoyed the crazy first half of this movie. I enjoyed it probably more than I should.
It's not
great, but I enjoyed it.
No, it's, I mean, I get it. It has a specific energy that some people would be really into. I'm not as enthusiastic about any of it, but yeah, so Death Kappa, yeah, it's one of the lesser known ones, and you know, it is actually, unlike last week's movie, a kaiju film. This is, you know, got some pretty solid kaiju action in parts of this movie. But I guess before we get into it, Patrick, what's the title?
Desu Kappa. It just means Death Kappa in Japanese. But what is a kappa exactly? It is a kind of river spirit. Or sprite is another translation from ancient Japan, often lumped into the yokai kind of umbrella, but is a kind of a mythological creature that is regional based. So different parts of Japan have different kind of stories of the kappa. Most of them follow the same description, which is like kind of a humanoid turtle body with a dome on their head, which is often said to be like their weak spot, but yeah. Also often looking very, whatchamacallit, they kind of have like a weird hair line around that.
Yeah, it's like a weird bowl cut.
Yeah, which I think is supposed to look like a specific kind of figure from Japanese, you know, hair stylings, but not much different in this title around the world, but we do have a fun tagline to talk about for the U.S. poster for the English dub, I believe, when it came out, which was released by Tokyo Shock, right when the movie came out. And do you like this one, Miles? The tagline is King Kong is dead, Godzilla's retired, a new monster is in town.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fun. Like if I'm perusing the aisles of the video store and I at least see that tagline, I'm like, okay, that's fun. I'm intrigued. What you got?
You pop in this movie, are you confused? Are you angry?
Honestly, this movie delivers exactly what I thought it would. Independent kaiju cinema, while I appreciate its efforts, is often
a little hit or miss.
It's more miss and sometimes hit.
We've gotten so many comedic takes as well in the post Godzilla Japan,
and you know, I wonder if it's because they're indie films, they feel like they have to have a comedic take because they don't have any money, so they're like, oh, we might as well take the piss out of it, which also makes me wonder if that's why they're all so very unfunny. I think the humor often lands to be super sophomoric and not really sustainable. Like a lot of times I'm like, yeah, there's some cheap laughs here, but then there's also some stuff that I'm just like, this is outright
this movie. I mean, I enjoyed Monster X Strikes Back. I like the goofy comedy a little bit in these films, but I think there's just so much that is lost in translation. And
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, I I do think there's some stuff that is just a little bit beyond our cultural reach, because even in something like, what year did this come out? 2001's GMK, Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah. I just saw, I think, a TikTok about how something that even we missed, the woman, we talked about the actress who played the victim who dies in the hospital once Godzilla's tail swings back around and murders her. She's a very young musician. She was like 20 at the time of the movie, but supposedly in Japan, she was like known as a kind of like an annoying musician, a la
like a William Hung.
Yes, kind of like that. She's just kind of a little grating in her style, but she was unlike
like a Fran Drescher, maybe.
She was unlike in the public sphere. The way that I think the TikTok referenced it was she was kind of the equivalent of Paris Hilton at the time in Japan. So that was supposed to be kind of like a comedic thing. Seeing this young girl in the hospital not able to get away from Godzilla getting killed would have been kind of a joke for the audience.
Right.
And the fact that she lived through the first encounter and then comes back and get killed. So I think there is a lot of stuff that we will miss. I will understand that, you know, there's a lot that I don't think there's a worry about translation with some of the Nazi stuff in this movie.
I also don't think that, I mean, yes, will there be references like that we might sometimes miss? Yes, but I don't think an entire film hinges on that. And like, there is some stuff that's just straight up like, oh yeah, this is goofy and dumb. The whole I Know You the Last Summer beginning, like, dumb drunk teenagers is not lost in translation. Oh. The whole sequence is also, what is with the way this movie does its sound production? Because it all feels like it's done in post.
Yeah, there's some oddities to the film.
The one that stuck out the most, other than them talking or like when they're driving, just hear, yeah, 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 yeah. like it's just like, okay. Well,
and you did watch the subtitled version of the film?
Yes.
I watched the dubbed, which is also, it's a whole nother experience.
See, I that's not fair, because yes, I can see how this might be funny with the dubs. Not fair.
It's a lot of the physical comedy that made me, the first thing that made me laugh was the grandma getting the car early in the film, and like, you know, she,
which, I mean, they telegraph from a mile away. Yeah, like, you know, she, exactly what's going to happen.
Well, I did not expect, because there hadn't been too many effects in the movie at that point, her to be turned into like a very stiff dummy and getting thrown through the air. Like, they purposely make it look bad. And then those teens, the same I Know What You Did Last Summer teens, hit the shrine as well. And the shrine turns into like a miniature immediately.
A miniature, like in an aquarium, like
in an aquarium. Yeah. When it hits the ocean, I was loving the movie at that point. And yeah, they kind of continue on with purposefully bad effects like that. And, you know, once we get, we'll talk about the kaiju stuff later. The kaiju stuff is such a love letter to specifically bad kaiju movies of the 1960s and 70s, which is a lot of fun. But
yeah, well, one of the first notes I took was in reference to the sound production, because the teens are partying. One of them's on the beach eating a corn dog, which is the crunchiest corn dog I have ever heard of.
Well,
sounded like she was eating a carrot.
Well, it might have been, you know, actually something different, and they translated
it to corn dog. I looked at it. No. She didn't say it was a corn dog. I looked at what they were eating. It was a corn dog.
Oh, okay.
Like, and I don't want anyone come, oh, it could have been a Korean corn dog. It was a regular ass corn dog with a wiener in the center of it.
I know, like, what a corn dog looks like.
I know exactly what a corn dog looks like. I know what a Korean corn dog looks like. They're delicious. I love them. But no, this is insane. I was like, I couldn't get over how the crunching sounds they kept making. I was like, what is happening? Also, and this was funny, is when Kanako, is that her name?
The main character?
When she is sort of, I don't know what she's doing in her wetsuit in the ocean, but she's working in some capacity. And then she goes to like wipe the sweat from her brow, but like she's got this gigantic like goggle visor, this like classic like diving suit thing on. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, there's so many weird things. Her character is pretty funny in general. I really like when she's I guess neighbors find out that she was like a pop singer and are playing her her music. Like I said,
well, the thing is, there's posters of her all over town when she's coming in. Like she keeps so this must be a joke that I don't get, because like she keeps meeting these like massively deformed people. That has to be
felt a little trauma-y, you know, just a lot of things about this movie.
It did feel like very trauma-y.
Early Toxic Avengers, and maybe that's why I liked it, because there's definitely like a James Gunn kind of groupiness of the film.
So I would agree with you if it went a certain route, but this movie does not go the route that Gunn and the trauma stuff does. It's so much more subdued than Gunn or trauma used to be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I see posters for her stuff. Like, and she's nodding to all these people. Like, that was what was so interesting. She's not disgusted by any of the weirdness as she's walking in town. She's kind of nods to them. And then we get this whole like narration about how much she loves this town. And, you know, like coming back here feels like a warm hug. And I'm like, there is absolutely something I'm missing here for sure.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I don't know what was with the guy in the train station. I don't quite understand it, but I enjoyed it. Like I enjoyed being part of this world. And once she gets captured by the, what were they called? They're not Nazis, but they're like people after World War II that wanted to like continue on as the Axis, the Japanese imperialists that, you know, follow like a path of Bushido. That part was pretty wild in the middle. And then an atomic bomb goes off, and the effects that they use for it are like underwater water plumes. I was like, oh, that's fun. It looks like a music video.
It does. It absolutely looks like a mid-90s music video. I don't understand how Kaneko is alive.
You know, Kappa magic, probably.
I don't know about that, bud. Yeah. No, I mean, I do appreciate some of the weird swings it takes. I tell you what, though. I think what might have improved my enjoyment of this movie is if they replaced that god-awful score. Mm. Like, it's something that has, you know, popped up since the 90s stuff, like Attack of the 50-Foot Woman remake and Zarkor. But this kind of stock, weird, repetitive score that it feels like fair music. Or if you went to like that's the Pacific Northwest, the Enchanted Kingdom or whatever it's called, mm-hmm. Enchanted Forest theme park. It's grating. It is soulless. And I think it takes me entirely out of the movie. And I think it really kills the entire vibe, because I probably would have had a little bit more fun with it if it wasn't for that score. It's a god-awful score. It adds nothing to the movie. In fact, it takes away from the film. Like, I think it takes away personality, because all the stuff you're describing, I'm like, yeah, it sounds cool. And as I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, yeah, some of this stuff is fun. But like, I'm able to look back at it, separate the score from this movie. And I mean, the score for me absolutely ruins the movie. Mm, like, I absolutely abhor it.
I understand it's hard to get behind. There's so many things about this film that I feel like could immediately turn off someone, you know, for several reasons. But yeah, I stuck with it. Actually, like I said, though, I enjoyed the first half more and started honestly falling asleep during the second half. It is a full 35 minutes of the film, I feel like, is the kaiju action once we get to it. And it gets a little repetitive, to be honest.
Exactly. I think it needed to be trimmed. They also... There's some good stuff in there. I love when the kaiju, the first monster, gets named.
Yeah, great question. I don't even have it written down here. I did want to talk about its suit design in general, but Hangulus.
Yeah, when Hangulus steps on a group of people, it's very well done. It's very funny. I did enjoy that. I thought a lot of the other attempts at humor during the rampage were just so, like, how many times are we going to see a group of tourists trying to take a photo unaware of this creature who has been attacking the town for now like 5 full minutes and has not been quiet about it? It like that at this point, that just, that gag doesn't work for me, especially when it does so in kind of a bad faith situation. I did think the military stuff was pretty fun.
Yeah.
If they cut down on it, but there was some funny lines there.
Yeah,
let's talk about this suit, because, you know, I feel like if this suit came out like in 1998, I'd be super, super into it. Now it's a little too colorful. It's a little too clean looking as a suit. It doesn't feel like a creature.
Are you talking about Death Kappa?
I'm talking about both of them.
Oh, I
do like the design of the suit.
Yeah, Hankulus feels like he is straight out of an Ultraman episode, but not a modern one, you know, like a 70s or 80s Ultraman episode. The director of the film, Umu Haraguchi, is a special effects modeler as his like primary profession, I would say, because he worked on as a modeler on all three of the Heisei Gamera movies and Gamera the Brave, as well as a lot of other special effects kind of focused films, and has indeed worked on Ultraman, both television series and in 2007, the Ultra 7 X film. And his work is amazing. He worked on the monsters and Gamera for the Gamera movies. And I think these ones, so the Kappa outfit was from one of his previous movies, a fantasy yokai film called Sakuya. So he had the original one there, and I guess altered it for when it turns into a kaiju. But I like Hangulus. It's kind of like a throwback to a Titanosaurus. It's like an aquatic Godzilla style. I like that he's got the detachable tail. It gets torn off in combat. Feels like they did it for a gag. And yeah, I like that both suits, they can move around a lot, so they're doing some actual kind of like wrestling moves.
So that was the part that I really didn't attach to, is like when they were fighting and they were doing like some actual wrestling moves, I was like, okay, this is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh right, so this film does not have a lot of great reviews online. It's pretty low down there. It's got a 4.6 on IMDb, and I think you'll find even a lot worse reviews. This did show in some American film festivals. I have some quotes here from the Another Hole in the Head festival. Rob Hunter of Film School Rejects, he's one of these guys I think just did not understand the first half of the movie, didn't quite get some right humor. And he says the director's intentions, quote, intentions were certainly commendable for the director's film, but the finished product ranks among the very worst of the kaiju genre, and dishearteningly is a film that portrays its own modus operandi. I don't know how many kaiju movies he's seen.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, that this is the reason why we've done this show, because I dislike a lot of the superlative language that is consistently used more and more in online conversations about film. This absolutely tells me that someone has not seen a wide breadth of kaiju films, because while I don't love this, this is not even close to being the worst movie. It's not the worst movie I've seen this week.
Yeah, not of the entire genre, and not even of like comedic kaiju movies. Is it the worst? But
no, I mean it's not great either. I do think that like there are far worse films that we have watched, and there are far worse kaiju comedy films, quote unquote comedy films, that we've watched this particular season. But yeah, I mean I think the actual kaiju stuff is fine. There is some really good stuff here. There's some good technical direction with the kaiju. Obviously, very, very cheaply made. I think the best part is when they're interacting, because you don't get to see a lot of good physical interaction sometimes with the suits. And here, I do think that is one of the positive points of this film, is like, you know, you get some real physical wrestling between these two creatures, and it's not just a lot of posing and, you know, being, you know, subservient to how the suits run. I do appreciate that a lot about this movie. I wish the rest of this movie was better.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff. I think this is the kaiju comedy film to watch if you're not a fan of the Monster X movie. If that one also kind of turns you off, you probably won't like this one. But I think there's a lot of love for the genre in this. We'd even talk about wild cameos by Hideaki Anno and Shinji Higuchi in this movie.
You know, I'm not at all shocked. I mean, one, especially Anno comes from the bootleg world.
Yeah.
You know, and he comes from, I mean, yes, now he's one of the big boys, but like, yeah. it's we were just talking about Green Day before recording, you know, someone who start off in a with little to nothing and has, you know, rose to prominence. Some people just don't ever forget where they came from and show up when they can. And from what I've seen of Anno, this does not shock me at all that he pops up in a film like this.
Yeah. And Shinji Higuchi also is part of the special effects team that did the Heisei Gamera film. So him and Anno and the director of this film, Tomo Higuchi, right? No. All three of them, you know, being, I imagine, thick as thieves in the 90s. It is fun to see them show up in this movie. That being said, that part of the film is just so wild. I mean, like, anyone could have popped out in the, like, Bushido Nazi uniforms, and I wouldn't have been really surprised. But that was a fun part. I did enjoy the kaiju special effects. I feel like they made the miniature towns look bad on purpose, which is like, it's hard to like kind of explain that to someone watching it. You know,
I think it looks bad because they had no money and they went with
it. Well, they leaned into it, but it is also supposed to be comedic. So I think seeing the strings on the jet planes and things like that is just part of the joke.
I felt so torn because I felt that was, you know, yeah, supposed to be like, oh, yeah, this is part of the joke. I think that's just low hanging fruit. It's not really that interesting to me. And like, I don't know. It makes it feel less of a love letter and more, you know, a little more mean-spirited in some aspects. I don't think it's supposed to be, but like, I didn't appreciate that because it felt like it was done so overtly. And I was like, well, what is this? What's the purpose of this? You know? And I don't know, for me, just it's difficult to nail down kaiju comedy. And, you know, I don't think we've watched anything that like just 100% nails it for me. This one I just didn't respond to it very well. But again, if they had a different score, I might have felt differently.
Another review I want to point out was by Stephen Sloss, who wrote on ourculturemag.com an article called Absent Friends, The Wilderness Years of the Kaiju Genre, which he posits as the time between Godzilla Final Wars and Gamera the Brave and like the legendary Godzilla, like the return of Godzilla, like that 10-year period is quote unquote the wilderness years of the kaiju genre, which I agree to an extent, but just because Godzilla is not making movies, you know, doesn't mean everything's got to be, you know, wild and wacky. But yeah, we got some absolute bangers in that 10-year time frame. But in that article, he says, quote, Death Kappa is ultimately nothing short of a train wreck of a movie. Much of the humor is detrimentally absurd, and some jokes commit the cardinal sin of actually making fun of the genre and techniques it claims to be paying homage to. I don't think that's true.
Oh, I fully agree with that.
I think they're not making fun of like the bad special effects, but they are like embracing them. And in the same way that Big Man Japan kind of embraced them in that third act, the weird live action special effects. I enjoy them for what they are. And like I said, I think there's just some loss in translation things that happen in this film. And that might be one of them. I don't think American audiences, you know, just a few years prior watching King Kong or something like that can really appreciate this the same way. I don't know. We don't really have comedic American kaiju movies to compare this to, you know.
Right.
I would love if that was the case, but yeah. What the closest is Queen Kong, and I don't want to talk about that movie again.
Ever again.
let's talk about rating this movie, Miles. Personal enjoyment is the lowest of my scores. I'm giving it a 6 out of 10. I enjoyed what I could enjoy in this film, but I probably won't be turning it on again anytime soon. What about you?
Mine was much lower. I did not have a great time with this movie. There are things I can appreciate about it, but yeah. And this is my threshold for why certain things go above the baseline good and some don't. And this is not a movie that I see myself watching again on purpose. Maybe if there was some sort of, you know, special event, if I was at G-Con or some nonsense and this had some cool ceremony that I couldn't miss. Sure, maybe. But unlike that unlikely scenario, I don't aim to see this movie ever again. I don't think it's particularly funny for the most part. I don't think it's particularly fun to watch for me. Yes, there is some absurdistness, but I think it just gets lost in the weeds. I appreciate any independent effort, but this one just didn't do anything for me. So it's 4 out of 10 for me.
What about for its technical, Miles? Where do you land there? You're not giving it the points it deserves for kind of.
I'm giving it a few more points for its technical, just because, mm-hmm. you know, the creature effects were not awful. The suit had some thought into it. There is some solid kaiju action. I mean, like I said, there's a love there for sure. And I do think the script is just, it's not for me. I think that score is what drags this movie down so hard for me. Like, this would have been a 5 or 6 for me, possibly, without that awful, awful score. So I'm inclined to go a little higher and give it a 6 for its technical. I still think the script is pretty weak. I do think that, you know, all the actors seem to be aware of the movie they're in and act accordingly, which is nice.
Yeah.
The absurdist scene when, you know, Kamiko is captured and you have this weird, like,
they're making girls into fish people.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, I want if the film had veered like in that direction more, I would be really curious to see what the film we would have ended up with. Because
trauma that part. I'm just like, oh, who directed this?
Which I think that's why I'm responding to it. I was like, I liked this because, like, yeah, it felt very Lloyd Kaufman. It felt like we were going in a direction that we really hadn't quite been before in this silly. And then it kind of became a standard kaiju film, which I was like, aw.
I didn't mention, but supposedly there is a deleted or alternative ending where Kaneko grows large and fights the kaiju as well. I meant to look for that.
What?
I think it was supposed to be in like the credits of the film, but I don't know if that was in either of the versions that we had access to on TV.
I still think this movie's a complete mess, but yeah, I gotta give some credit where credit's due. What about you?
Oh, what are we? Are we on to the tactical? Yeah, I'm giving it a 7 out of 10. I really appreciate the special effects, especially in this movie, as a part of kind of kaiju history, kind of capturing the technical skills that they exhibited in the 90s Gamera movies, but also poking a little fun at the 60s and 70s special effects and things like that. So, I mean, besides the script being absolutely bonkers, everyone does seem like they are having a good time. Like you mentioned, seemed knew what movie they're in, this over the top acting. And it was different enough that it kept me on my toes while I was watching it. But yeah, like I said, I was a little bummed out that the actors kind of disappear for in place of kaiju for the second half of the movie. Yeah, and I really did enjoy our main actress, Misato Hirata, who plays Kaneko. And, you know, some of the ancillary people around her are a lot of fun, but she you know, holds the first half of this movie. So I'm giving it a 7 out of 10, which I think is still very generous in a lot of ways. For its importance, I'm also giving it a 7 out of 10. Like I said, I think I like it maybe just a little bit less than what I think you know, is a very similar movie in Monster X Strikes Back, Attack the G8 Summit. I think that movie somehow is more of a cohesive plot than this one, and maybe
absolutely
more, maybe more important to kaiju cinema, because it is actually using a kaiju, an existing kaiju from the universe, and bringing it back like 40 years later or whatever. I would say of Big Man Japan, this movie, and Monster X Strikes Back, I think Monster X Strikes Back is the best of these humorous takes on kaiju. We're not done with them. There are a couple more that we'll get into on this list, but those three came out pretty quickly after one another, within like a 4-year period. So a lot of saturation of the Japanese market, you know, at the very least. What about you, Miles, for its importance?
Sorry, I mean, there is certainly a reverence to kaiju cinema here, no matter how I feel about the film. So there is that. It does take all of that into consideration. There is, you know, interesting monster designs, even though I think the kappa is butt ugly. That thing is just hideous. That said, I still don't think this offers anything that interesting or new, or does any of the classics particularly well. It certainly knows what it is, but I don't get a lot from this. This doesn't really set off my barometer in any specific way. I'm not going to dog on it, but I'm also not going to give it any sort of higher score for that. I feel like even though my score isn't reflecting it, I think I like Monster X a little bit more. Actually, no, my score does reflect it. So I'm going to give this a 5 for its importance. It's not really, but it's also not like complete dreck. I can see people enjoying this movie. It's absolutely not for me. The humor, I just don't feel like I just don't think it worked. And
Didn't translate, or just wasn't good to begin with.
Yeah, I can see that some stuff might be in lost in translation. But that said, there's enough here that where I'm like, no, this just wasn't that good.
Well, that will put you at a 5 out of 10 for your overall score. And I'm at a 7 out of 10. Brings our podcast final to a 6 out of 10, which does put it behind both Monster X Strikes Back and Big Man Japan as far as kind of overall scores go, which I kind of saw, you know, a potential to reach a 7, but I understand 6 be where it is ending.
I honestly thought I didn't think it was going to get as high as 6, to be perfectly honest.
I think you should watch. I think you should have people over and do a bad movie night and watch the dub, because it's pretty wild, pretty different. But that being said, I enjoyed Monster X Strikes Back more personally. Well, yeah. What? Well, that 6 out of 10. That's Death Kappa, Miles. Folks can find us on kaijuversushistory.com, wherever they get their podcasts, on your social medias at Kaiju Versus History, or if you want to chat us up via email, you can. We are kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. Find us on the Cosmic Crit Discord channel. It's another podcast that we're on. We have a whole subsection just for kaiju news, really, to mostly talk about.
It's mostly talk about news and toys.
Well, we do talk about episodes as they release audience.
If anyone asks about them, we absolutely do. But typically, it's mostly just talking about toys and news.
Well, yeah, when this episode is being recorded, there was some news of a Transformers and Godzilla matchup for the 70th anniversary of Godzilla, and I was pretty unimpressed by both of these toys. There's a Grimlock Godzilla, and it doesn't look
I wish they put a little more special detail in that, but yeah, it is what it is.
It is not exciting to me. Anyway, you can find us on there if you want to chat us up, or see all of our reviews past and future on our Letterboxd account in 5-star format. So this movie would have two stars. Wait, no. 3 stars? Yes. Our final was a 6. So 3, half of that is 3. 3 out of 5 stars. wherever you watch or listen to our podcast, rate and review us. We appreciate it if you send us comments, and we'll read them on the podcast. What's happening next week, Miles? Where are we going?
All right. Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we return to the found footage subgenre with a film from Norway that perhaps no one expected to fall into the kaiju genre. We take aim at a Nordic giant mythic monster in next week's episode of History versus Troll Hunter.